Now in Germany, the Conservative opposition is celebrating winning the most votes in the country's general election. But there was also a dramatic surge by the far right, Alternative for Deutschland, known as AfD, which is now the second strongest political force. The election winner, Conservative candidate Friedrich Merz, who is tipped to be the next German Chancellor, has already ruled out coalition talks with the AfD. With his party securing 29% of the vote, he has said he will now try to form a ruling coalition as quickly as possible. But who with and what are his plans for Germany? Well, we can speak now to our Europe editor, Tony Connolly, who is in Berlin. Tony, the headlines today are both covering the success for Friedrich Merz's party, the Christian Democratic Union, but also his political comeback. The 69-year-old now very much set to become the German Chancellor.
That's right, Karen. He was a rival of Angela Merkel back in the day when she became chancellor, and having failed in his leadership bid for the CDU at the time, he left politics and returned to corporate financing. He was on the board of a lot of companies. He became a multimillionaire, but he made a return in 2017, and at the third attempt, he became leader of the CDU. So he's now poised to form a coalition government. Now, the makeup of that coalition depends really on the final votes. If the Liberal FDP party gets over the 5% threshold, then he will have to enter a coalition probably with the Social Democrats and the FDP Liberals. But at the moment, they're stuck at about 4.3%, so that looks unlikely. So the likely scenario is that a combination of the CDU and the Social Democrats would give them around 327 seats, and the threshold to have a working majority is 316 seats in the Bundestag. So that looks like the direction of travel at the moment.
And already the party celebrating success, but also being very clear-cut in their plans in terms of tackling migration and helping businesses.
Yeah, so the migration issue was an extremely divisive factor in these elections. As you mentioned, the Alternative for Deutschland, the AfD, made that a central platform. We had a scenario where Friedrich Merz actually collaborated with the AfD in the Bundestag a few weeks ago on a particular bill relating to closing Germany's borders. And that essentially broke the firewall that has existed around a far-right party in Germany since the end of the Second World War. And that triggered a lot of discontent in the heartland. There were huge demonstrations against Friedrich Merz having anything to do with the AfD. And that that sentiment, I think, is still there. Even though the AfD has now done very well, they've got 20%. Most of their support is concentrated in the former East Germany. Sentiments that the established parties have lost touch with the concerns of ordinary people. That certainly boosted their support. And also, Alice Weidel, the leader of the party, is a very popular candidate. A lot of voters telling pollsters that they voted for the party because of her, not necessarily because of some of the policies that the party follows. So that overshadowed the victory by Friedrich Merz. But nonetheless, he does have 28.5% and now is in pole position to form a government.
And there have been some commentary from his party, the Christian Democratic Union. I believe we've a clip there to play from one of the
members. Yes, I spoke to Mark Spike, who is the state secretary of the region of the North Rhine-Westphalia. He was spelling out what the priorities of the new coalition would be and Chancellor Merz.
I think we cannot afford a lengthy process to form a new coalition. And Friedrich Merz is very determined to speed up this process. We need a new German government as soon as possible. And that's why I think we'll see a rather faster process in forming that coalition, because we need German leadership in the core of the EU.
What are the priorities and the big challenges facing him as Chancellor?
I see two main challenges. One is economic competitiveness, and the other is restoring European security in the light of the current geopolitical challenges. And Friedrich Merz is determined to tackle both of them.
And the debt break, do you think that's something he's prepared to tackle?
Well, of course, we need sufficient finances. But he always has made clear, first look for priorities, then try to save on some of the other spendings. And the third option is to talk about, well, discussing the debt brake or whatever is necessary to make that military spending that is necessary.
Mark Spike there speaking about some of the challenges, Tony. And the move really of the country's politics to the right, what does the rest of the world make of this election result so far?
Well, there have been very warm welcomes from Paris, from President Macron, also from London. Keir Starmer saying that he looked forward now to building a security partnership with Germany. This has been broadly welcomed at EU level. Donald Trump saying a great day for Germany, but I think that was possibly referring more to the performance of the Alliance for Alternative for Deutschland, the AfD, because of course J.D. Vance, his vice president, had met Alice Weidel when he was over in Munich some weeks back, and Elon Musk, of course, as well, was explicitly supportive of the AfD in that election, and Friedrich Merz last night wasting no time to condemn what he called an outrageous intervention by the United States into internal German politics.
And Tony, just briefly, because the EU Israel Association Council meeting is taking place this afternoon, and we understand that EU member state officials have negotiated a compromise text on the EU's position. What is of particular interest there?
So this Association Council meeting follows from the letter from Leo Varadkar, the former Taoiseach, and the Spanish Prime Minister last year, asking the European Commission to look into whether Israel was in breach of Article 2 of the Association Agreement because of the conduct of the war in Gaza. Now, that meeting is finally happening today, and the EU has had to negotiate a compromise text that would take account of all EU positions. Now, the Irish government, as I understand it, has got language in there which reflects the EU's commitment to international law when it comes to products coming from the occupied territories. Now, it's a rather complicated story, but the government believes that this will provide some legal space or perhaps legal cover to proceed with the occupied territories bill, because of course many people believe that that would in its current state be in conflict with EU law, because the European Union has sole competence on trade.
And Tony, that is all on the website for people to read in further detail on RT News. Tony Connolly in Berlin, thank you.